Welcome to the November 10th sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 12, and the sermon is entitled, Ministry Equals God's Resources and Our Attitude, delivered today by Pastor Michael Fitzgerald.
All right, get used to this voice today. It actually has gotten worse through the morning, but too late to call on another preacher. But before we get started, let's recognize our veterans today. If you have served your country or you're serving now, would you stand and let us recognize you today? All right. But as we come, as I begin this, let me say this to you. It is not the power of a man's voice. It's the power of the Word of God. And maybe today that's why I'm standing before you. I'm going to talk low, but Kenneth, make sure you press that volume because I want God's Word to be heard today. As we come, we're coming knowing that God has a Word to speak to every single one of us. And as we come, we know that God's Word is a word of power. It's a word of power for the church. We are here in this community and in this world because the church is more needed now than it has ever been needed before. So we're going to look at an unusual letter of the Bible. We're studying through it. It's the book of Colossians. I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. I call this book unusual because it's outside of Paul's circumstances. Unusual because Paul did not know these people in Colossae. He had established churches in Ephesus, in Galatia, in Philippi. He knew these Christians well when he wrote his letters to them. But he didn't know the church of Colossae. He didn't know these Christians at all. And yet he calls them brothers and sisters because they're filled with the same spirit that lives in his heart in that jail cell. So today, this letter is a result of a visit from a man from the church at Colossae. His name was Epaphras. He may have been the pastor of the church, but I believe that somewhere along life's way, perhaps when Paul was in Ephesus, he met Epaphras and led him to Jesus as Lord and Savior. And Epaphras went inland and established a church in Colossae. As Paul was in a prison cell, Epaphras comes to him about a 1,000-mile journey. And he says, Paul, I want you to help my church. It's in trouble. False teachers have gotten into the church. I want you, Paul, to help lead us back to where we need to be in Jesus Christ. So Paul writes this letter to encourage and to direct the church he'd never met, but he loves them because Jesus lives in them. You know, that's a great quality of the church. My prayer for Clifford Baptist Church is that when a brand new person comes into our sanctuary, be it a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ or a seeker for Jesus, that he or she feels the welcome of the Spirit of God when they walk into this sanctuary and into this church family. That's what we are to do, to reach out to every person who comes to worship with us. So as the great missionary Paul writes this letter to Colossae, he says, I'm so glad Epaphras came to see me, came to visit with me, because he comes on your behalf and he loves you as a church. So today, as we look at the book of Colossians, go to Colossians chapter 1. In verse 8 of chapter 1, Paul says, Epaphras declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So Paul's thankful for the church. Now, we're going to read a prayer that Paul prayed for this church in verses 9 through 12. This is the content of his prayer, and I want us to take apart this prayer today and hear the power of God, not in my voice, but in the power of prayer. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. As we look at these words, Paul writes to the church, For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. May God add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his word. My prayer is that you heard it well. So Paul is assuring this church that he's praying for them. He doesn't know them, but he's praying for them every day. And he wants them to have good ministry. And I want you to notice in verse 9, this is a key to the sermon. Verse 9, Paul says, I desire your church to strive for two essential things. First of all, he said, I want you to be filled with knowledge and wisdom of God's will. Where do we learn the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God's will? Write this passage of scripture down to go back to it. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 6. Proverbs 2, 6 says this, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Where do we find the will and wisdom of God? In this word, in this Bible. Paul says, I desire for you to know the word of God. But then he says, I desire for you to know a second thing. I want you to know a spiritual understanding. Where do we come to understand the Spirit of God? On our knees in prayer. So Paul is saying, I want you, church at Colossae, to be filled with the knowledge of God through his word and through the spiritual understanding of his will for you through prayer. Be people of the word and people of prayer. Those two things are essential to the church at Colossae, and they're essential to this church in Clifford, Virginia. Amen. Knowledge of the word and prayer on our knees. That's how we follow the will of God. So Paul says, if you stay in the word and you stay on your knees in prayer, God will fill your church with his will, with his wisdom. Now, let me take that little word fill, F-I-L-L, that you see in verse 9. The Greek word there is plero, P-L-E-R-O, is the transliteration. And that word fill pictures a ship that is sitting in the harbor. And that ship is absolutely packed full with food and supplies so that as it takes its long journey across the sea, it is fully supplied to make the journey. Paul is saying, church, God has your will in his mind, and he has you filled that you might make the journey for him, that you might do ministry for him. He's filled you with his knowledge, with his word, that you might make the journey that he's called you to. So Paul is saying, church, you are filled, you are fully stocked to do all the ministry God has called you to do. Stay in the word. Stay on your knees. Read the word. Continue to pray. And God will lead you in his will. Listen, friends, this letter is over 2,000 years old. But we learn something that we need to hear for this church today is that God has a will for us. God has a plan for us. And we learn that plan and we know that plan by staying in the study of his word and on our knees in prayer. That's how we follow him. We have all the resources we need to seek his will for Clifford Baptist Church. And the resources that we have are to reach the world for Christ as Lord and Savior. We have all we need in the power of this word and in the power of prayer for God to lead us. You know, a church could have millions of dollars, and a church could have tons of talent, but if we don't follow God's word, and we don't pray for God's will, the money and the resources will be absolutely wasted. We have to follow what He wants us to do and be in this world. We have to follow His leadership, His plan for us. And here in Colossians 1, Paul says, if we are intent on that commitment to follow the Word and to stay on our knees in prayer, the Lord is going to fill our ministry so that we can call the lost to Christ, so that we can take His love into the world where it needs to be. When the Lord fills us as His church, we, God's people, will respond to Him. Now, here's a turning point. Listen, when we study the Word and when we pray, Paul says in this prayer that we will respond in five ways. There are five ways that we will respond in following the will of God through the Word and through prayer. So on the back of your bulletin, I want you to write down these five ways that we follow the Lord and respond to His Word and respond to His answers to our prayer. Five ways that God fills us, leads us. Here's the first one. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10. Paul says, staying true to the Word and true to God in prayer will lead us to walk worthy of the Lord in the world. Walk worthy of the Lord in the world. That means, ladies and gentlemen, that on the weekdays and on the days that we're not together in the church, when you're walking in the world as that minister and as that disciple, that you're going to walk worthy of the Savior who has given you life. That you're going to keep to the forefront of your mind and your heart, I am representing Jesus, my Savior, in my walk today. Whether it's to the workplace or the classroom or to Walmart or food line or back into your home at the family table, wherever it is, walk worthy of your calling in Jesus Christ as His son or daughter. Has a will for you. Represent Him well in this world. And the amazing thing is that God can use you and me to leave an impact and an impression for Jesus Christ wherever we go. Walk worthy of Him. And when we do, lives will be touched. The second way we respond to being people of the Word and people of prayer is also in verse 10. He says, good works, good fruit will come from you. When you're people of the Word and people of prayer, good works, good fruit will come from you. Have you ever thought of this? The day that you and I stand before Jesus, our Savior, if He should say, show me the fruit of your life, show me the fruit of your ministry, believer, what would we say? Some people might think that we should say, well, I gave a lot of money to the church, or I helped the church build a building, or I've sat in the pew hundreds of times, or I've served on committees, I've sung in the choir, I've done all kinds of things in the church. And all of that is good. But the truest fruit of our ministry is Jesus is asking, whose life has been changed because of your life touching them? Who can you bring me who's come to Jesus because they've watched you? The fruit of our ministry is reaching out with the love of Christ that lives are changed, brought closer to Christ. Our church is to be intent on reaching people. I pray that we build another building one of these days to house the people of God, to extend our ministry, but that's nothing but a tool. The truest form of our fruit are lives that are changed. People have come to Christ as Lord and Savior. So this week, I guarantee you by the Word of God, you will have the opportunity to produce fruit in the kingdom of God. You will cross paths with somebody who needs the love of Christ in their life. Be ready. The moment you step onto the porch of this church to walk as a minister and to bring fruit to the kingdom of God by touching someone's life. The third way we respond to following the Bible and sincerely praying is also in verse 10. It says, we will increase in our knowledge of God's will. I am so grateful that we have a ministry today. I'm so grateful that day by day we walk in ministry and service. But increasing in understanding the will of God is, Lord, what's the church going to be like tomorrow? We're going to increase in the will of God in understanding His future for us, not just our today, but also our tomorrow. God has a will for us. God has a pathway for us to walk. God has laid the footsteps of Christ for us. He wants us to know His will for tomorrow. Be praying, Lord, how are You going to lead my church that we will continue to grow and to go into a changing society? Friends, this word does not change. Let me hear a mass amen. Amen. This word does not change. But the way we deliver it will change. It's amazing to me the way ministry has changed since I started in the early 80s. I can only imagine those who've been ministers longer than me, how ministry has changed over the years. The gospel never changes, but the way we give it has to touch lives where they are. He will give us His will. And as we follow His word and as we pray, He will reveal it to us as we walk into the future day by day how we're to serve Him. The fourth way we respond to the Lord through His word and through prayer is in verse 11. The church will have a strength in ministry that comes by the power of God. It's not our power that carries us. It's the power of God. It is certainly not the power of my voice that's carrying this sermon today. But there's a power in God's word despite the hoarseness of the preacher. The power of God is what carries our ministry. When we're the people of God's word and the people of prayer, He pours His power in us and through us that we might serve Him in this world, that we might bring fruit in this world. You know, in the Bible, there are two basic words for power. One is dunamis in Greek, and the other is kratos. Now, dunamis, that's the word we get the word dynamite from. And if you know anything about dynamite, it's boom. Right. That came out good, didn't it? Boom. And God works through that kind of power. When God wants to produce a miracle, boom, the miracle is there. When God wants to part the Red Sea, boom, it parts. That's dunamis. But that's not the word in this passage. The word in this passage is kratos. It's a different kind of power. It's the steady, patient, ongoing, day-by-day power of God worked through us as we walk in the world. It's the power of God that's a steady stream in us, in the world. It's the consistent, dependable power that we call on to take us out into the world every day. I met a group of pastors a few months ago, and I was the speaker to this group of pastors, and I enjoyed being with them. We were close to Roanoke that day, but one of the pastors in that group considered my long ministry here at Clifford Baptist Church. And he said, how do I convince my church? I've been there now a couple years. How do I convince my church that I want to have a long-term ministry there? How do I tell my church that I want to be their long-term pastor like you've been at Clifford Baptist Church? How do I tell them that? How do I convince them of that? And I think I gave a very, very simple answer. But I said, just keep showing up every day. Show up at the church's doors and at the pastor's office every day. Show up when they need you. Show up when they're hurting. Show up when in the hospital. Show up at the nursing home. show up at their days of joy. Keep showing up. That's the best way I can tell you to show them you want to be a long-term pastor. Keep going. That's kratos, the steady, dependable power of God worked out in you and me because we keep showing up to do the work of Jesus. Clifford Baptist Church, our strength in God's power is that we just keep going up out into the world. Don't give up. Don't let up. Keep going by God's power into the world. You be steady. You be strong. You be dependable. You keep showing up in those places where you show up every day with the love of Christ in your heart. It's amazing what God can do through us when we simply keep showing up every day. The fifth way we respond to being people of the Word and people of prayer, it's in Colossians 11 and 12. I want you to hear these verses again. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto patience and long-suffering. Here's the last word. With joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father. Those are the words I want you to hear. Joyfulness. Giving thanks unto the Father. The fifth way that we respond to being people of the Word and people of prayer is that we are going to be a people with an attitude of joy and thanksgiving when we go. Church, how important it is that we go into the world with a good attitude. Do you understand that? A good attitude and a smile on your face and looking someone in the eye goes a long way in this world. Joy and a good attitude. You know, the Lord doesn't want to send a bunch of sad sacks out into the world. He wants his joy to radiate through you and me as we go into the world. Now, I know our lives have ups and downs. We can't always have that great smile on our face because of what we're going through, but that's our general demeanor. We want to have a great attitude and a great joy to go into the world. Do you know how far it goes? Paul says here, be thankful. Certainly we want to be thankful to God, thankful that he's given us life through the Savior, thankful for our families, thankful for all the blessings of life. But have you ever thought, as we express our thankfulness to God, how important it is to express thank yous to other people? To be very sincere in saying thank you to the one who checks out your groceries. To being sincerely thankful and expressing that to a bank teller. To be thankful for that person who works behind the counter in a gas station. You know, sometimes our lives just, we come and go through life and we exchange the money that we need and we're on our way. But can we look people in the eye and sincerely say, thank you for helping me today? It's amazing what an impression Jesus can make with just a few simple words that are pleasant. Because those folks who walk behind those counters, they don't often hear thank you. And I want to say this to you today. For those of us who go out to eat today, say thank you to your server. And do not leave a crummy tip. Because that server knew that you came from church today. So you be a good influence. And sometimes that's with a good tip. My two children worked in the food industry when they were in college. And they say you remember two kinds of people. The worst tippers and the best tippers. You be remembered for reaching out to them with joy and thanksgiving. How important that is. Believers, as we gather at the church today, our joy and our words of thanks should be heard by the world. You know, the little children's song, if you're happy and you know it, then your face will surely show it. That's a good way to live. Today, church, I pray in these limited moments that we will rededicate our lives to knowing this Word of God Use it daily. Go to your prayer closet daily. Pray as a church for God's will to be done in us. We want to seek His word and His will, that He will use us in power in this world. And I pray that we will rededicate our lives to a few things today, believers. Number one, walk worthy of Jesus in this world every day. Rededicate your life to that. Rededicate your life to producing fruit by the lives that you touch. Rededicate your lives to being steady and dependable as you go in ministry. You know, I know this morning when I got up, I knew I was in trouble as far as my voice went. But part of my dependability is I wanted to be in this pulpit today. And I thank you that you've tolerated my voice, my prayers, that you've heard the word of God through it. Rededicate your life to being dependable. Show up where you're supposed to show up. Give the word of God where He calls you to give it. And let's rededicate our lives to joy and thanksgiving. To be a people with a great attitude when we walk out in the world. I'm grateful the Lord has drawn us together. One last thing. If you are here today and you've never received Jesus as your Savior, He's using a very weak voice, but a very sincere heart to tell you He wants you as His son or daughter. He went to the cross for you. He shed His blood for you. He took the punishment for your sin. All of us sin and fall short of the glory of God. He died in your place on that cross. And He rose from the grave on the third day that you might have life. If you've never received Him, today He's extended His hands and His love to you. And He's saying, come to Me and receive Me as your Savior. And when you receive Me, you will know what true joy really is. Because I will come to live in your heart. And you will be Mine forever and ever and ever. If you need Him today, believe Him. Trust Him. He is dependable. He's with you every step of your journey of life. And He wants you as His own. Church, home, whatever your need, the Lord meets us in this moment. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank You, Lord, for a church that has tolerated my very weak voice today. But I pray, Father, and I prayed this all morning long when I felt my voice was so weak from the moment I got up this morning. My prayer has been throughout the day, Lord, use my weak voice to share Your powerful word. It's not how powerful my voice is, it's how powerful You are. You're the God of dunamis. You're the God of kratos. You're the God of all power. Thank You, Lord, that by Your sacrifice, by Your death on the cross and resurrection from the grave, You have the power to save souls. You have the power to forgive sin. You have the power to adopt sons and daughters by that salvation into Your family of eternity. If there's one person here today who's never come to Christ, I pray today that they will hear Your strong call through a very weak voice. I pray for my brothers and sisters, myself included, that we will walk worthy of You this week, that we will be dependable, that we will produce fruit, that we will be people of joy. We love You, Lord. Bless us, I pray, in this very important moment of decision, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.